past all knowledge, and there are worlds beyond the world. Over these abysses of space and in the long extent of time, I doubt whether any word that can be spoken would bear, everywhere and forever, its weight of meaning and its power, unless it were that first word which Segoy spoke, making all, or the final word which has not been nor will be spoken until all things are unmade. So even within this world of our Earth Sea, the little islands that we know, there are differences and mysteries and changes, and the place least known and fullest of mysteries is the South Reach. Few wizards of the inner lands have come among these people. They do not welcome wizards, having, so it is believed, their own kinds of magic. But the rumors of these are vague, and it may be that the art magic was never well known there, nor fully understood. If so, it would be easily undone by one who set himself to the undoing of it, and sooner weakened than our wizardry of the inner lands. And then we might hear tales of the failure of magic in the south. For discipline is the channel in which our acts run strong and deep. Where there is no direction, the deeds of men run shallow and wander and are wasted. So that fat woman of the mirrors has lost her art and thinks she never had it. And so Hare takes his hazia and thinks he has gone farther than the greatest mages go when he has barely entered the fields of dream and is already lost. But where is it that he thinks he goes? What is it he looks for? What is it that has swallowed up his wizardry? We have had enough of Hort Town, I think, so we go farther south to Lorbenary, to see what the wizards do there, to find out what it is that we must find out. Does that answer you? Yes, but then let the stone be still a while, said the mage. And he sat by the mast in the yellowish, glowing shade of the awning and looked out to sea, to the west, as the boat sailed softly southward through the afternoon. He sat erect and still. The hours passed. Aaron swam a couple of times, slipping quietly into the water from the stern of the boat, for he did not like to cross the line of that dark gaze which, looking west over the sea, seemed to see far beyond the bright horizon line, beyond the blue of air, beyond the boundaries of light. Sparrowhawk came back from his silence at last and spoke, though not more than a word at a time. Aaron's upbringing had made him quick to sense mood disguised by courtesy or by reserve. He knew his companion's heart was heavy. He asked no more questions, and in the evening he said, "If I sing, will it disturb your thoughts?" Sparrowhawk replied with an effort at joking, "That depends upon the singing." Aaron sat with his back against the mast and sang. His voice was no longer high and sweet as when the music master of the Hall of Barilla had trained it years ago, striking the harmonies on his tall harp. Nowadays the higher tones of it were husky, and the deep tones had the resonance of a viol, dark and clear. He sang the lament for the White Enchanter, that song which Alfarin made when she knew of Morid's death and waited for her own. Not often is that song sung, nor lightly. Sparrowhawk listened to the young voice, strong, sure, and sad between the red sky and the sea, and the tears came into his eyes, blinding. Aaron was silent for a while after that song. Then he began to sing lesser, lighter tunes, softly, beguiling the great monotony of windless air and heaving sea and failing light as night came on. When he ceased to sing, everything was still, the wind down, the waves small, wood and rope barely creaking. The sea lay hushed, and over it the stars came out, one by one. Piercing bright to the south, a yellow light appeared and sent a shower and splintering of gold across the water. Look! A beacon! Then, after a minute, can it be a star? Sparrowhawk gazed at it a while and finally said, I think it must be the star Gobardon. It can be seen only in the south reach. Gobardon means crown. Kurum Karmerik taught us that sailing still farther south would bring, one by one, eight more stars clear of the horizon under Gobardon, making a great constellation. Some say of a running man, others say of the rune Agnan, the rune of ending. They watched it clear the restless sea horizon and shine forth steadily. You sang Elfarin's song, Sparrowhawk said, as if you knew her grief. And you'd made me know it too. Of all the histories of Earthsea, that one has always held me most. The great courage of Morad against despair. And Seriad, who was born beyond despair. The gentle king. And her, Elfarin. When I did the greatest evil I have ever done, it was to her beauty that I thought I turned. And I saw her. For a moment, I saw Elfarin. A cold thrill went up Arryn's back. He swallowed and sat silent, looking at the splendid, baleful, topaz-yellow star. Which of the heroes is yours? The mage asked, and Arryn answered with a little hesitancy, Aerith Akby. Because he was the greatest? Because he might have ruled all Earthsea, but chose not to, and went on alone, and died alone, fighting the dragon Orm on the shore of Celador.